Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Okay, here we go, sports fans.
Afternoons on The Score.
It's pretty wild that in a week that the Bears change offensive coordinators. Now it's on your rookie quarterback to try and lead a game-winning drive.
The drive that he had there and the completions he made to put us in field goal range, I thought were outstanding. That's real football there.
Four-man rush. Williams in trouble. Gets that out of one shot. Run for his life. Throws. Oh, it's a big catch. Not there yet, but it'll be a fourth and manageable. It's a Dunze.
You know, everybody has this feeling inside that you lose a game like this, and it's a bad taste. But there's also some good things, you know, and we need to use that as fuel.
Obviously, play the game right here. Fourth and three. Game on the line. Williams lofting one for a Dunze.
You know, tough times don't last, but tough people do. And that's where it's at right now.
If that doesn't work, this should do the trick.
What doesn't kill us makes us stronger.
We can hang this in your room. You can see it every morning. Start to internalize.
Blitz. Everybody's coming here. Williams throw. Caught. Keenan Allen. Now they're in real field goal range.
Now you put it on Santos, who is a great kicker.
We should have had a walk-off. Field goal win there, and again, that didn't happen.
Here we go, 46 yards for the win.
Here's the snap, placement made. The kick is blocked!
Blocked.
It is blocked!
Blocked!
It is blocked! And the Packers have won!
Beautiful!
And the Packers have won 11 straight over the Bears!
11, it's not 10. These guys were 11.
Oh my goodness, what a finish! Wow!
And heartbreak for Caleb Williams.
And it is absolutely heartbreaking for the Bears.
Heartbreak, as usual.
Every single day of my life has been worse than the day before it. So that means that every single day that you see me, that's on the worst day of my life.
What about today? Is today the worst day of your life?
Yeah.
Wow, that's messed up.
The official adventures of
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score.
The weather is factored in to how everyone feels today. You all are making it so it's raining outside. You're listening to a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and Busey Bank. That man is Matt Spiegel. I am Lawrence Holmes. This is Spiegel and Holmes. We got you until Bulls basketball tonight. Tanny is here. Shane is here. We are going to take your phone calls about the Bears. 312-644-6767 is the number. The Bears lose. They lose to Green Bay. And to just continue to talk about how big a deal this is the longest winning streak by either team in the history of the rivalry. 11.
Wow.
Longest winning streak by any team against the Bears. Longest current streak by an NFL team against one single opponent. Your Chicago Bears.
Dude, Tanny with the sadness and the falling on black days and every day being the worst day of your life moving forward. That game made me so sad, man. Like, and I couldn't snap out of it. I was with a lot of people who were wanting to move on with the day, and I just couldn't. I was like, wow, that happened? Like, the way that loss happened, because, look, when Caleb takes the sack on first down and second down, and it's third and 19, there'd already been like a whole roller coaster of hope and possibilities and everything. But after those two sacks, I'm like, well, I guess it's not going to happen. And then he makes the play to Odunze, and then the beautiful fourth down back shoulder play, and then the blitz beater to Keenan to get into range. And I'm like, oh my God, they're about to do it. And then I think it was also because 330 hard-earned dollars from our listeners came to me with my faith and optimism, and we invested together. And that 500 was about to turn into 1525. Somebody's $20 was about to be 62 bucks. And then we could have rolled it over or not. We could have made that choice together as a family.
Or not.
Or not. And so I saw all of these things happen. And I was like, Bears are going to win. They're going to break this streak. Here it is. And then it didn't happen. And you know what else happened? My brother-in-law, my freaking meatball brother-in-law, says to me, well, it's good that they lost. And now it's good. They should just lose all the games from here on out and just go ahead and just get a better draft pick and make sure the coach gets fired. And I realized I'm not ready for that. I'm not ready for that freaking mindset.
There's still 2 months of football left to play.
That's the thing, man. We've lived that mindset for so damn long. This is a year where we're not supposed to be living that mindset. I don't want to live that mindset. It makes this job less fun. Makes our existence on the day-to-day less fun. It's like it's much better to root for wins and have a chance to get them. I don't want to be in the lose-out crowd. It made sense. I don't want to do it anymore. And so, like, the whole thing is just... And then you're right, the rain, man. My God. I wanted to stay home and sleep and watch a bad movie. Or a good movie. Either one would have been fine.
Hey,
today.
Props to you for putting up all that 500 after we spent the listeners' money at Spearmint Rhino in Vegas. Props to you for saying...
No.
He went to the Peppermint Hippo down the street on Las Vegas Boulevard. The cheap knockoff version.
Now, the Wintergreen Elephant has lovely ladies.
The Juicy Fruit Jam was very nice to me.
I would just like to offer...
Yes, please.
...that this is part of the reasoning on why we didn't want you to go into the Packers bet.
Thank you, Lawrence.
Why? Because they could lose the game? Mm-mm. Any number of ways?
I want you to rewind yourself for a second. I want you to go back of all of that regret and that sadness that you had that was connected to the fact that you had spent all these people damn money, Speaks. Because of you.
I know.
And because of your optimism.
I'm
and
sorry.
Because when everyone else was like, Speaks, you don't have to go that far. Then you doubled down.
I know, but
then you tripled down.
But it was about to happen, Lawrence. We're about to be sitting on that 1500.
Speaks, it was never gonna happen.
Yeah, yes, it was.
No. This group.
You don't think it was going to happen?
Not with this group.
You're like Steve Stone going door to door selling coffins. Like, you're going to die anyway. You might as well give me your money.
Give me your money now. Yeah, you guys. I mean, Tanny joins me in sadness, but you were cynical. You had a terrible feeling about that as the entire fourth quarter was happening.
Well, yeah. So, you know, full disclosure here. So, like, when I'm watching the game, I'm in my office. I got the TV. I got the laptop. I'm taking notes. I'm working/being a fan. It's a tricky spot to be in, right? When they score that touchdown before the half and they just drain the clock and they keep the better offensive unit off the field.
Good game management. Look at that.
It was awesome.
It's amazing.
I was yelling. I was like pounding the wall, you know, and then I was told by my wife, stop being so loud. And I had to give her a little yelling. She gave me the Farmio, quit yelling. I had to give her a little talk at halftime. I was like, hey, look, no one's sleeping here. I'm not, it's the middle of the day. Do not tell me when to be happy or sad, please. I think I've earned it, right? So there was that. And then, you know, when they convert that fourth down before the field goal try, I resorted to jumping up and down without any noises at all, you know, coming from my body. It was like a contained enthusiasm.
You can't control couch noises like that. They get released another time on their own.
Exactly. So the loss in itself, like, it's a, you know, a November loss against the Packers. I've seen that enough in my life, so I should be used to that. But it's the joy leading up to that that really, like, I couldn't watch. Like I told you guys in the group thread, I do not feel good about this drive, like before the Packers scored on that final drive, I do not feel good about this drive. No Bears fan probably did. And then to go from that to what happened with the field goal, like they're setting up for that kick. I almost wanted to leave the room. Like, I can't watch this. Like, I started thinking about double doink, and I just, like, kind of sat down in the corner of the office, like, not even on a chair.
Wow. Because I was believing right then. I was like, man, it's about to happen.
That's why I stayed in the room, because, like, you know what? Enough of this. Like, they've got a good chance. They deserve to win this game. Caleb put them in a good spot. I'm going to be able to enjoy this if they do make this kick. And, of course, they don't. And then I was just kind of of like, you know, eat my feelings the rest of the game.
Wait, real quick on that. Real quick on eating my feelings. What did you eat?
That's what I was going to ask.
Shane came through with the Danish Kringle from the Brat Stop on Friday, and we were just kind of just munching on that.
Those Kringles. Yeah, you got to get them out of the house. Because if they stay in the house,
the easiest way to get them out is just to eat the whole thing.
But
then it's not there anymore.
That's not the easiest way.
I haven't stress eaten all season.
Yeah, no, I had like one little piece Saturday night, and I'm like, that's it. I can't do it.
Stress eating was always my problem, right? I haven't done it all season. I didn't do it during the White Sox
season.
Yeah, you're
down like 35 pounds?
Well, it was 50, and now it's probably close to 35. I'll put on another 15 or so. But I haven't done that, and it was a major win. Do you guys know our guy?
Salute.
Salute major win. P1, Marty Garcia.
Didn't salute major win yesterday.
Major loss.
No. I'd like major right back instead of Elijah Hicks, I'll tell you that.
Wow.
Do you know our guy, Marty Garcia, the Salsa King of Chicago?
You guys know him, right? I love Marty.
Get his stuff at Jewel. I went through, so I sat down with a tub of the medium salsa. I was like, all right, I'll just do this. It's vegetables. It's okay. And then they move into the kick, and the kick is blocked. I took out the entire queso salsa mix. I had that entire tub during postgame. Marty Garcia, Salsa King of Chicago, put on the 15 pounds for me just because of that block kick.
Well, this is what Tanny and I were talking about. I think it was after Thursday's show when I said when I was watching the Washington game. Like, I was getting ready to head down to do my video, to do the pod, and I've got my laptop in my hand, and I'm getting ready to walk down the stairs.
Oh, no.
And I'm like, no, I should probably see how this goes, right? So then the 13-yard play happens, and now I'm still literally holding my laptop. I'm like, I'm going to sit down now because – because
this is a team that finds ways to lose that stuff.
This doesn't feel right.
This is the trick bag the Bears got to say, because I'm like, maybe I should stop watching games from my office, the most comfortable and efficient spot. And Lawrence Brown's like, maybe I should stop doing post-game recaps. Maybe it's our fault. That's what this team will do to you. They'll have you thinking it's your fault.
But that was yesterday, too. So look, yesterday I'm watching the game with Olin and Patrick, and it was great doing the pregame with them, the post-game show with them. And Patrick is pensive because he's a special teams guy. He wants to see everything go well. So he's not quite pacing, but we had walked back to the broadcast site and he leans over to Olin and he goes, hey, the left side, they've been bad on the left side all day.
This is in real time as you're watching the game.
This is as they're coming back out of the timeout to line up for the... He's like, the left side's been weak all game long.
And that's the middle was Borum and Pryor with Scott Daly in the middle, right?
And then the kick goes up and it's blocked. And he just looks at Olin. And Olin looks at him and he's like, God. And you just see those guys.
They felt the sad.
Absolutely.
Here's your opportunity to beat the freaking Packers. Your kid quarterback adjusted to the new offensive coordinator and vice versa in ways that we will discuss.
Shout out to Thomas Brown because he really did put something together that was a lot of fun. I'd like to see him do it again.
Yeah, of course.
Want to see him duplicate it, but that was a lot of fun.
He worked fast in ways that mattered, and we'll hear Caleb talk about that and get to that today. I thought it was really, really compelling. So your kid quarterback shows up, And you guys make enough plays, and the offensive coordinator, Roshan, twisting and turning on inside runs to get every possible foot. He's like, he's got a really nice little thought process in there. I wish he was quicker to if he breaks it through to get you 8 or 10. But instead of DeAndre Swift diving ahead for 2, Roshan will run and then twist and get you 3 or maybe even 4. And I appreciate that.
Braxton
he got used
Jones,
a lot.
Like,
come
just
on.
Absolutely destroying blockers on the Swift touchdown.
Yeah, man.
Swift doing his job as being Mr. Outside and getting you a big run that puts you in position to win.
How about
Keenan Allen playing hurt. Clearly hurt.
And beating his man when he had to, making himself available. How about DJ Moore with running after the catch the way that we know he can, with aggressiveness and shiftiness and getting all that done. I mean, there was a lot. Kevin Byard in run support, man.
My God, was coming downhill, like making plays. The Bears had frustrated Green Bay in this game. They had frustrated them. But the scary part is that wasn't a very good game that they played yesterday. And yet and still, Christian Watson ends up with 150 yards. Jordan Love does just enough to put them in a position to win. And I know that we'll get pushback on it because of the end game stuff, but I'm telling you, fourth and three at the 49 with 4:27 left to go, you could have won the game right there.
You go for it.
And I would have, and you decided to punt. And the whole plan, the whole reason that you have this particular punter is because he has a special set of skills. You ended up only getting 24 total yards out of that exchange.
Absolutely brutal net. Absolutely. And his net is not what it should be for a punter draft in the fourth round, folks.
And on a day when you are rewarded with aggression, you've been aggressive on third downs, you've been aggressive on fourth downs, and you've converted them, fourth and three midfield, you punted. That's some cowardice. That's not believing in what it is that you're doing. That's not trusting what's going on in the game.
Mm-hmm.
It's cowardice by Matt Eberflus. It's risk aversion by Matt Eberflus in those moments. And he was justly served up justice by not being brave enough to go in that situation.
And you know
and
what?
And then compounds it
yeah.
as you're getting ready for the field goal by, you know, we got enough. We got enough yards, and this is going to work out.
Yeah, man. You're on it. You're on it. And that's what the guy is. And on the punt thing, we've seen it so many times. We pointed out in transition, for anybody who missed it, Matt Nagy's been there before. Mark Trestman's been there before. I told you about the time when Marty Schottenheimer was there in 2005. You remember Nathaniel Hackett on Monday night in his first game as a head coach for the Broncos, where he ran clock and settled for a 64-yard field goal attempt? A 64-yarder! And Peyton Manning is screaming at the screen during the Manning cast about it. And he defended that in postgame. Coaches sometimes turtle in moments like this. And it should not be celebrated as logical just because many of them sometimes turtle. It is always consistently weak sauce because there are outcomes other than just picking up 3 or 4 yards and making it a slightly easier field goal or losing a few yards, making it more difficult. There are other outcomes that happen sometimes, Lawrence.
Yeah, like, for example, and this is the thing of not learning from your own mistakes. If you go back 2 weeks ago, at the end of the first half, the Arizona Cardinals were in a position to gain a few yards and kick a field goal. What they ended up getting was a 53-yard touchdown run in that moment because they chose aggression in that moment. They chose to go, let's try and do the best that we can, and maybe there's a slip-up. Maybe someone falls. Maybe we block it upright. Maybe it's the right call in the right moment against Matt Eberflus's defense. And it was. And then you get a 53-yard touchdown. The risk aversion, and as someone who has lived life with a large risk aversion, I understand that it's a safe place to be. There are moments inside of games where you have to read not just what, like, this is where the idea of heart and mind come together. You can't be so reliant on, well, we have to guard against all the things that could go badly, that you keep yourself from the things that could go well. And in both of those moments when Matt Eberflus has an opportunity to show some faith in his team, he chose to show faith in risk aversion. That's what he did.
Yeah, man, and it absolutely is. It's a dude coaching scared, coaching trying to prove to the world that he's a decent coach as opposed to coaching to win. He's coaching scared instead of coaching to freaking win. And this league is full of one-score games. It's a league of one-score games. What, 70% of them end up one score in the fourth quarter. And the numbers have been going around, Lawrence, on on coaches in one-score games here in this NFL, active coaches in one-score games, where every little detail matters and making the right choice with your gut as well as your head matters. And what's he in one-score games?
Five and 17.
5 and 17. 5 and freaking 17. And they've lost. I mean, this loss and the Washington loss, based on coaching details, it's some of the worst losses that you've ever seen. Some of the worst ways a team can lose a game. And look how disheartened they are, disheartened former players are, and disheartened a lot of us are.
Olin gave a bar yesterday. He said, you don't understand why you lose, and that's why you'll never win.
Yeah, man.
There it is. Let's hear from you. 312-644-6767 is the number if you'd like to join us. You're listening to the Plumbers 911 Football Monday, presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and Busey Bank. This is Spiegel and Holmes. We are talking with you, the Bears fan, next here on...
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together, we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
On the score.
Just like you draw it up, right? First of all, got to give Chicago a ton of credit, obviously, with everything that has transpired here over the past week. And we knew this is National Football League. You got to come with your best every week in order to come away with a win. It's always hard to win on the road. They were 4-1 at home, so I figured this was going to be a four-quarter battle, and that's exactly what it was. It took all 60 minutes, and that's a competitive football team. The margin of error in this league is so minimal, and we see it. I mean, they're a Hail Mary away from being a 5-4 team. I mean, most teams in this league, it's a 500 league. You got to find a way to win some of these tight games like we did today.
Cram it up your cram hole on the floor.
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons on the score.
That dude. He's good,
right, though.
Oh, he's very right.
This is a one-possession league. It has been set up that way. Look at the scores from this past Sunday. Most of the games are one-score games. And you learn who the good coaches are in those one-score games. And the record of 5-17 in those one-score games since he's been head coach lets you know that, or if you want to, you could even look at how many times the Bears have had 95% percentage to win the game. And he's lost those,
oh,
too.
Oh, yeah. There's
multiple times.
A number of different ways to look at it, for sure. LaFleur, by the way, those run schemes are beautiful. What
they
he does,
really are.
I mean, my God, so sexy what they do. Because they'll dress it up with a bunch of different ways. Then it's Josh Jacobs coming right at you, right up the gut. It's
a lot of duo yesterday.
And when they're not great, he will say in the post game, as he did yesterday, that was a bad play call by me. I got to do a better job than that.
You listen to the post. He owned it in the post. Yeah, him and Shanahan. Those two are the best at run. Well, and Greg Roman and other people that we don't have are very
McDaniel
good at that. Yeah.
As well.
He's also very good. Yeah, he is very good. You're right. All those guys are very good. We should get one of those guys. Or we could just get whoever Trace Armstrong recommends.
That's probably what you're going to get, including it being the same guy that's coaching the team now.
Sure.
Possible.
Or Lincoln Riley, another Trace Armstrong
guy.
Yeah,
I will say that was the one thing where I was like, I could have done without. Oh, I talked with Lincoln Riley this week. I'm good on that, Caleb. I'm good. You don't have to tell us that one.
You asked for people and listeners. We got Kurt Warner at the top of the hour. Yeah, I think he disagrees with us on some coach thoughts at the end of that game. But let's talk to the people, Lawrence.
Sure. Let's go out to Decatur and let's talk with Jake. Hey, Jake, you're on the score.
Hey, fellas, thank you for taking my call. I really appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. What's on your mind?
I think when you're talking about the whole leadership thing and stuff that maybe Eberflus is lacking, and I know it's offensive driven is what the league is and that's what they want, but maybe next year, I'm just throwing his name out here, but like, what about somebody like, say, a Robert Saleh? He kind of seems to have that vibe to keep everybody in control. Now, I'm not saying like Aaron Rodgers, because that dude's a fool. And
Jake, I feel like if you called other shows with this particular thought.
Yes, I called Mully, Dr. Mully last week. And
yeah, I heard you. We appreciate the phone call. He already has a job. He's actually working as an analyst in Green Bay. So, but I don't know if we need to already start talking about who's going to be hired next year.
Well, unless you're offensive dreaming about Ben Johnson, or you can look at offensive coordinators. Connor Orr's list that he puts out annually of like the up and coming head coaches is out. I bookmarked it. I've got it ready to go.
It's funny. Jake did like, it's like he wrote it out, because I remember hearing it with Mully, but so be it. To Manhattan. Are we talking Manhattan, Illinois?
It's Dr. Manhattan.
Manhattan, Kansas.
Are you blue? Are you enormous and blue?
Manhattan, Illinois, boys.
All right, what's up, Joe?
So I was at the game yesterday, and I just want to say the way our players played yesterday, they did everything they needed to do to win that game, and our coach took it away from them. That last drive of the game, Caleb Williams was making some of his best throws of the year. The team was driving. There was 12 seconds before the two-minute warning where they just sat there and didn't call a play. And then we get the gift of a challenge play, basically a free timeout. We don't call two plays into the huddle. We run. I don't know what we're doing, but Flus took that game away from us. I think we could have marched the ball down the field and scored at the end of the game, and he absolutely took it away from us.
Thanks for the call. The 12 seconds that he let march off before the two-minute warning, I didn't have that big a problem with, because that was after the two sacks. It was about to be 3rd and 19, so he let them catch a breath. I thought Caleb was a little panicked on those first two plays. I thought he stepped up into pressure on both plays. After not taking a sack all day, he took two of them there, putting a little too much on his plate, a little panic or a little freeze right there from
what
Caleb.
What I didn't like about it is that there was clearly a play called. Like, he snapped the ball. It just happened to be, like, after the two-minute warning. So, like, it bothered me that it wasn't just a, hey, like, let's kind of just let this whole thing settle down, come over here to the sideline, let's talk, catch your breath, and let's talk about what we're going to do after the two-minute warning. It seemed very scattered in that moment.
Okay, well, I guess that's... I mean, it felt scattered. It felt horrifying after the two sacks, which is why then... You're so completely shocked and delighted that the plays get made after that. It makes the smackdown of the blocked field goal hurt even freaking worse, because you got delighted by the surprising rally after the two-minute warning.
Lake Bluff and Tom. Tom, you're on the score.
No, thanks. Yeah, I want to make a comment. You know, I know Eberflus needs to go just by his record, but I can't take him for the loss. The kicker blew the game. He missed the kick. You need to focus on that. The other game, the Hail Mary.
He didn't miss the kick. The kick was blocked.
The kick was blocked.
Yeah. There's a difference.
It was too low. He kicked it too low. No, that should never happen.
But that's what he does. Have you watched him all year, all his entire career with the Bears? He's a low trajectory kicker. And the whole league knows it. The Packers know it as well.
Now they will. Now you'll see what will happen. More people are going to be blocking his kick.
We saw it happen yesterday because they knew it. So
But I mean, that should be the focus, not the coach. The coach needs to go just on his record. And he didn't taunt the fans and blow the Hail Mary play. I mean, you got a player that's like not focused.
No, what did he do the play before that, though?
Should have been fired.
What did he do the play before that, though?
Yeah, no, he blew the Hail Mary play. He didn't call a timeout on the Hail Mary play and didn't let them get their act together.
But he didn't have the guy taunt the fans and miss out on the play.
And I'll ask you again, what happened the play before that?
Right, no, I'm not. Eberflus should be fired on his record. But if you're going to micromanage him on every single play and blame every loss on him, I mean, the other two games, the quarterback didn't fulfill. He didn't score any touchdowns. I mean,
I'm curious why you won't answer my question. What happened on the play before the Hail Mary? Exactly. Thank you for the phone call.
He gave up 15 yards or 13 yards just by not having the corners.
We appreciate Matt Eberflus's cousin calling in.
You want to micromanage every little thing? You don't have to micromanage every little thing, but we have a giant catalog of decisions that have damaged the chances of winning. Yeah, there's other stuff from yesterday. I agree that there's other stuff from yesterday, but not putting the Hail Mary on him, not putting that loss on him, and then it's everything that happened after. And it's not just his record that you fire on. It's the fact that he's bad at managing a game and bad at leading, not just the record.
I think that you can obviously take one game and it be in a vacuum, and you could say this is not the worst game that Matt Eberflus has coached.
Absolutely. Had good game management right before the end of the first half.
That doesn't mean that he did anything that was going to win you the game yesterday.
And some of the offensive struggles in those two games right before are because of the offensive coordinator that he hired. We haven't even yet really dissected that whole thing, which Correct. We'll have time to do.
Kurt Warner's going to join us. We'll find out how he viewed the game. Next on The Score.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.